Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
And just to show you just how God moves, this was actually targeted a few weeks ago. And as I sat down with Pastor Barry and we started lining things up, we realized that wasn't going to work because the Sunday that it was originally slotted for was going to be the Sunday that the Panama team was up here. So I was like, well, that's not going to work. And then I'm going to be gone for the next two Sundays. We were on vacation. But isn't it great how in the passage we're going to look at in just a minute, and what Pastor Barry read is that scriptural truth of serving in a community, and that just fits so well with what we've already experienced today in communion, and that, and how Pastor Barry talked about that it's something we do together. And that's something we're going to see in just a second at that first church. So one of the things they did was that they took the Lord's Supper together. And it's something that we don't want to slight, because I've mentioned this before, where we don't want the Lord's Supper to be a box that we check the first Sunday of every month. It needs to mean something, okay? At the time of examining your hearts, just as Pastor Barry challenged you to do a moment ago. And when we do this, we try to do different things with it. I don't know if you recall, a couple of months ago, we did a video, and I think we're probably going to actually do that next month as well, but God's already kind of laying that on my heart when we do communion in May. We did a video, it was a new video, and it was one that, as it played, you were called to take the elements as the Lord led you. And I saw something I've never seen in a communion service before. I saw people not just taking the elements, but actually, we call that a time of worship, worshiping. Pastor Mike Bowie was right there, stood up, hands up, worshiping God during that time of communion. It needs to mean something. It's not something that's just a ritualistic thing. We are remembering what God has done for us. So as Pastor Barry read that scriptural truth, first off, I do want to say something real quick. Happy opening day. I'm in trouble because I'm not wearing cardinal gear. Pastor Bill said, I know you're speaking, but you could represent. What I didn't realize at that point was, I'm wearing blue. In fairness to me, this is a new shirt my wife bought, so that supersedes all things. And I wanted to wear it, so. But I do have my cardinal watch on, so I am representing, so, okay. And if you guys need to see it later, I do have it on, so. But Pastor Barry talked about the community and serving others. And that's the first thing that I want to look at, is what the community means. And we're going to look at the forming of the first church. And as we lead up to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Jesus had ascended. And before he ascended, he instructed the apostles to go to Jerusalem to wait. And that they would be, and that the Spirit would come over them. And that they were to stay there until that happened. And then they were to go out. And in Acts chapter 2, we know that at the beginning of the day of Pentecost, when the people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's going to be another truth that we're going to look at later on in this series. The people were filled with the Holy Spirit. So then they went out, and the apostles started teaching, started preaching. Peter went out and preached, and thousands of believers were led to the Lord. And so in Acts chapter 2, at the beginning of the passage, it even says in your Bible, it says it's the believers form a community. And we're going to talk just a little bit about community before we start talking about serving it. Acts 2:42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and the prayer. So right there, we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper. That was part of what they did as they gathered together, was that they observed the Lord's Supper. And they did it together. did it as a group. And it wasn't just enough that they were believers. It says they were taking in the apostles' teaching. They were learning. They were praying. They were fellowshipping. It wasn't just enough to say, okay, Jesus, I accept you. Now I need to learn more. I need to grow. And they continued to be fed and to seek out his word. Verse 43 says, a sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared money with those in need. I had mentioned a few weeks ago, last time I was here before we took offering, and I almost read this passage then, because as a challenge to look at what the people did in the first church. They went out and sold everything they had. They formed together, and they met each other's needs. The other day, we were eating breakfast. Carmen had made some scrambled eggs, and I was the last one to get my eggs. So I put them on my plate, and I'm eating before I go to work. Well, the kids had finished theirs. And Eli was still hungry, which Eli wanting more eggs in itself was pretty incredible. He wanted some more eggs. So I walked over, took my plate, and I scraped some off my plate onto his plate so that he could have some more eggs. And he was just tickled by that. And Bella, right away, she goes, Mama, did you see? Papa just gave some of his eggs to Eli. Just that little thing there of serving someone else made an impact on her. She recognized right away that I was giving something of mine, giving it to him so that he would not want. These folks did more than scrape a few bites of eggs off their plate. They went out and they sold everything that they had to take care of each other and to get the message of God out. And I was reminded of the story of the young rich young ruler who had went to Jesus, said, what do I need to inherit the kingdom? And as they walked through the little checklist, he goes, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. And Jesus said, okay, now go and sell everything you had. And he couldn't do it. Could not do it. He had so much, and he just couldn't give it up. And he walked away sad because he was unable to take that last step. Verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day. Did you get that? I tell you what, I read that thing I don't know how many times until that phrase, each day, hit me. They didn't just get together on Sunday for an hour, worship, then go home. They got together each and every day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. And there again, there's that observance of the Lord's Supper. And shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship. So not only were they continuing to meet, they were getting the word out. More and more believers are being added. More and more people were coming and joining that community. And it's great when you can read a passage like that and just kind of take time to think about it, to absorb it. But for me, it always means so much more when you can relate something to it. And I had I don't know if you want to call it an opportunity as I walk through this, but I really got to experience how that worked as a community back almost 29 years ago now. It's going to be 30 years ago here soon. On November 15th, 1988, I was a young family man. I had a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And I don't know if any of you are familiar with where Heaven Sent Donut is. On Bryan Road, and right across from there is a firehouse. Behind that firehouse, there are some townhouses. And I owned one of those townhouses, and we were living in there. And we had just finished our basement. And that was the first night that we were enjoying having a family room in the basement. We were downstairs watching TV. I was actually sick. I woke up sick that day. And I worked third shift, but I woke up, it was going to be my first day back to work, but I woke up sick. My mom called. She asked if I could go with her because the family dog was sick. Wanted to know if I could help her take the dog to the vet. Took the dog to the vet. I come home. I'm still not feeling good. I said, I'm not going to work tonight. So I called in, which turned out to be a really good move. So as we're sitting there watching TV, power goes off. Like, oh, great, we're not going to get that. We're trying to watch the, how many of you have seen The Karate Kid 2? Trying to watch The Karate Kid 2. Power goes off. Well, about 10 minutes later, there was something a little bit more than power being gone that happened. As we had an explosion. A tornado had come through and hit our complex. And it, you know, just to show how God was really moving in that. Like I said, we were downstairs. I mean, we had just made an opportunity to be downstairs. We were downstairs. And I'm going to show you a picture in just a second. When you see it, you're going to be amazed at just how little physical injury there was out of this. Carrie, you want to go ahead and bring that up? This is what we had the next morning. And I know it's a little grainy because it's a picture taken from a newspaper that's mounted on a piece of poster board and laminated. And I don't know if you can see that red arrow kind of up in the upper left part pointing to an opening. That's our place. Where there used to be a dining room wall, there was just a big hole. And like I said, it's just amazing that the limited amount of injury that people suffered at. I mean, God just was really watching over people. But the reason this meant so much more to us as we were going through this was at the church we were attending at the time, we had been attending 6 years. We were starting to kind of not be sure if we really fit there anymore. We weren't sure. We were thinking maybe God had something else in mind for us. We weren't sure if we really fit there anymore. So as we were, and we couldn't get out, I mean, we were like trapped until firefighters came. And that firehouse that's in front of those was not there at the time. So we had to wait for them to come from somewhere else. We had to wait for firefighters to come and get us out. There was one building that suffered very minimal damage that they were kind of taking us to. That was staging area one. And then they took us up to a church in Lake St. Louis, and that's where the Red Cross was set up. And that was staging area two. So as we got up there, just kind of thinking about what had happened, and we're sitting in that church up there in Lake St. Louis, and here comes these six men ready to get to work right away. They didn't just come in meekly seeing, okay, how's everything going? I mean, these men were charging in ready to kick some tail, ready to go. So they grabbed us and they took us over to my mom's house. So like I said, I had a one-year-old and a three-year-old, and all our possessions were in that rubble there. They took us there. Right away, they went to the grocery store, got us some diapers, got us formula, any kind of clothing we needed right away. People would start to bring clothing in, and this was a good opportunity to bypass a trip to Goodwill and get rid of some hand-me-downs. They were going out, and they were buying us new clothes, bringing it into us. And that first day afterwards, we met at a church that's down, I don't know if you, again, if you're familiar, there's a church right there where Mexico Road comes into Bryan Road. There's a church there, and that's where we met to try to see what we could go the next day and get out. And because of the, like I said, as you can see, one of our buildings was on the hardest hit. Because of the uncertainty of what the stability was at that point, they could only take us up in groups of two, and we had to have firefighters with us. And each person that came could carry one box, and you were supposed to carry it on your own. We were able to slide by that a little bit because the pastor of our church was the guy I took up with me, and he knew one of the firefighters, so we got them to kind of help us. But you had 15 minutes to get in, get whatever you could throw in that box, and get out. Which is not very much. That's where you find out what's important. You know, that's where your pictures, jewelry, that kind of thing. So then we didn't know when we were going to be able to get in to try to get the rest of the stuff. I mean, the people that came that next day, I had men that took off work to come and help out. And even though I couldn't utilize them, they still stayed with us until through the end of that part of the process that day. So then the next day I drove back out there, and there was an O'Fallon police officer that I know. And no, it's not one that you all know, just to kind of ease your mind at that. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure he was a police officer at that point. His name's Bob. I drove up. He was there. I said, hey, Bob, do you know if we're ever going to be able to get in here? He goes, I think actually they're going to let you in later today. I said, awesome. Drove home, told my mom, rented a truck, headed over there. I called the church prayer line. I said, hey, just put it through the prayer chain. Anybody that can come out, I would just love to help. I'm going over there. I'm just going to start loading up what I can. You would not believe the response we got. I had more people than I could use. More people than I could use. We had whatever we could salvage out of that, we had that thing cleaned up like you wouldn't believe. And as a matter of fact, I had so many people. This is where it gets to what Pastor Barry said as a scriptural truth, where it gets beyond taking care of the people of the church and going into the community. Across from us was a single lady who was there going through her stuff. She had nobody with her. So men that were part of our group, they didn't just sit there and say, okay, well, there's no more we can do here and leave. They went over to help her out. Said, ma'am, what can we do for you? We're here to do whatever we can. Went over to help her out. I mean, God really spoke to us. There was such service that was taking place that day, and it was amazing. Even people were going up in the kids' room. There was someone going through the debris, picking up coins from a piggy bank, just trying to get whatever they could and do whatever they could to help us out. So what I learned out of that, besides the fact that God just really still wanted us at that church, and that church was there for us, not only there for us, but for others, was just people being able to use any gifts that they had to help out. And there are so many passages of Scripture talking about spiritual gifting. The one we're going to look at is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does not work in all, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Catch that? Each one of us, a spiritual gift is given to so that we can help each other. One Spirit, one Lord, but a gifting for all of us. All of us are given a gift for that specific purpose, to serve that Lord, that Spirit. There are many different types of needs that come up, and He provides a gifting to ensure that each one is met. And what verse 7 talks about, the spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. I just can't help but think of how, as God puts people in our lives and as we interact, we start to pick up what those people do. They start to pick up what we do. I know I've learned so much from being married to Carmen. And I hope that she's learned something from me. You know, one of the things is watching her worship God has given me such a freeing experience in worshiping God, something I didn't have before. I've shared this before. You know, I was one of those that just stood there, we sang the song. That's it. Okay. I love music. I mean, songs speak to me in so many ways. But to really then have that move in you and to be able to just raise your hands up and praise God. Maybe do a little, you know, move. I didn't do, you know. But, you know, just being able to, and I tell you what, I miss being next to her on Sunday mornings because it's just so great watching her. Yeah, but that's not going to happen. So, and then I had lunch with Pastor Barry Thursday and I told him, and I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but we had quite a trip home from our vacation. Turn into 19 hours on the road. And so the final leg of that, we were in Clarksville, Tennessee. I found out that my wife will not stay in a hotel where she saw a rat walking around outside. So I'm like, all right, we're going home. So we went to a Burger King. I said, I just got to get some coffee, go to the bathroom. Kids go to the bathroom. They can sleep in the car. I just need some coffee, and we'll just finish the drive. So I walk in one door to the Burger King, and as I walked in, I noticed it said dining room hours 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. or whatever, and this was 11:30, but the door was open. And Carmen and the kids walked in a different door. And the manager turned around. She was like, whoa, I got people in here. Whoa, are those doors not locked? Sorry, no, they're not. And I just said, look, can we just use your bathroom? And I could get some coffee. And we kind of joked around what the situation was with her. And she was so gracious. Yes, go ahead, use the bathroom. I'll start some coffee up for you. So she got us a couple cups of coffee, and she went and rang it up. It was like $2.59 or something. I don't remember what it was. All I know was I just reached in my wallet. I grabbed a 10, handed it to her, said, take it. And she started to get change. I go, no, just you've just been so gracious. Just take it. And I told Pastor Barry, I said, that was you. That was you working through me. I didn't give her my debit card to swipe, or I didn't want my change back. I gave her a 10. I said, just thank you so much, and we're gone. There's just so much that we can learn from one another. And as this passage goes on, verse 8, it starts to get into the pages turned. It gets into listing the gifts. Sorry, let me back up here one sec. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to one another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown language, while another person is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should give. Each one of us is giving some sort of gift to use. And it's in one thing, and we're going to talk a minute about how we're a little tentative about that, but I would encourage you right now, as we're talking about, as we read through those gifts, and again, there are different lists, more exhaustive lists of gifts, so if you don't think you fit in there, there are plenty of passages we can find your gift. I will send Pastor Carl out personally to sit down with you, and we will find your gift. He will get that out of you. But it is there. Because we had that one God that we are serving, and He knows that there are so many different needs that people have. And so we all require a different gift to minister to those people. And that's why it's so great what we're doing. I guess Pastor Barry talked a little bit about what we did this past Tuesday night with the men. We did this last spring as well, where we got down in small groups, about four or five, and we just shared what our stories were. Because there maybe is something that happened in our life that could have an impact on somebody else, on another man. And then as we practice doing that and getting more comfortable with what our story is, we are more comfortable in sharing that with men outside of where it doesn't have to be in that group anymore. You could just be walking up to someone in a restaurant or something at Cracker Barrel. I'm sure you hear a lot of stories in there. Yeah, my father-in-law would love to just go hang out at Starbucks and talk to people and get to know them and tell them a little bit about himself, sharing a story. So you practice that, and then you get comfortable with sharing that with someone else. Verse 12: the human body has many parts, but many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same spirit. We all share the same spirit, but there are so many parts to go into making that up. And you know, I can't resist the chance to get a little sports analogy in there. So, and it's not the Cardinals, so don't worry. You know, the greatest sports moment of the 20th century was the U.S. Olympic hockey team in 1980 beating the Russians. And at that time, we were still using college people. We were using amateur players, college players. While even though in theory the teams we were playing against in those Eastern Bloc nations were supposed to be amateurs, they were truly professionals. These are guys that have been together for a long time and played as a unit and played as a team. So one of the things that if you've seen the movie Miracle or if you've seen any documentaries about that team, Herb Brooks was named to coach the team. And one thing he talked about was, if you watch the movie when they have the tryout, all these guys come out to try out, and he makes his list up right away. Now, of course, that's a little literary license there, you know. They probably didn't quite go like that, but, you know, he's got his list ready. And his assistant coach, Craig Patrick's looking it over, and he goes, well, you're missing some of the best players. He goes, I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right players. See, he told the people when he interviewed for the job, you know, we've been through this sending our NHL all-stars over to play these guys, and they've just gotten kicked. This has done no good. We need to play as a unit, as a team. And there's a great line in the movie where as some of the players are looking at the tryout list and the names on there, and for a little historical reference, Herb Brooks was the coach at the University of Minnesota at that time, so he had a number of his players there. And there are a number of players from Boston University as well. And there was some animosity between those two programs. And one guy looks at the list, he goes, well, I see a lot of Minnesota and a lot of Boston guys here. And the other guy goes, yeah, that's going to work out real well. You know, it's like, we don't get along with each other. But they did. They learned to work together because they worked towards a common purpose. That was to come together as a team and to win games, to win a medal, to win a championship. And they did that. And the greatest example of that is the team captain, you know, Michael Ruzzioni, who did not go on to any kind of professional hockey afterwards. As a matter of fact, again, in the movie Miracle, there's a scene where he's in the tryout camp. He makes a move, and one of the guys goes, hey, what's your name? And the other guy looks at him and goes, just scratch him off your list. He's not gonna make it. Don't even worry about him. Well, not only did he make it, but in that game that was considered the greatest sports moment of the 20th century, he had the greatest moment because he scored the winning goal, and he was the captain of that team. So how we can work together as one, using the gifts that God has given us. So I got one other passage I want to look at real quick because we get so tied up sometimes, again, in thinking that we don't have something to offer. Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did you ever see sick or in prison? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king said, I tell you the truth, when you did this to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Doing it to me. There are so many, this is just an incredible picture of just how simple acts of mercy can reach people. So many different ways that we can reach others. But we paralyze ourselves thinking we are inadequate. I don't have what it takes. I can't do this. And as I thought back to the first church that we read about in Acts chapter 2, you know, they didn't have a template to work off of. Rick Warren hadn't written the Purpose-Driven Church yet. There was no Bill Hybel and Willow Creek. Nobody ever heard of Brian Houston and Hillsong, which is now around the world. They didn't have a temple to work off of, but they did it. The people that came and helped us after that tornado, they didn't attend a 6-week study on how to minister to people who have been through a tornado. I don't think we offer that, do we, Pastor Carl? Not yet, okay. They didn't sign up for a class at Global University or something that taught them how to do that. They just reacted. There was a need that needed to be met, and they reacted. So when we see a need, meet a need, don't become paralyzed by thinking that we don't have what it takes. God has given us what it takes. It's just a matter of what Pastor Barry talks to us all the time about our availability. It's just a matter of our availability to go out and to reach others.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.